You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. A recent study by the Pew Research Center found that among Black Americans, only 42% intend to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Many have suggested that the reluctance to get vaccinated among Black Americans and other communities of color is a function of the mistrust that some in those populations have in the healthcare system. To better understand this issue, I spoke with Dr. Kamel Eckroth-Bernard, a vascular surgeon with UCSF Fresno, and Angel Reina, president of Madera Community College. It seems to me that whenever there's a conversation in the media lately about medical mistrust among communities of color, and particularly among the Black community, the reasons cited for the mistrust, or I should say the reason cited for the mistrust, is the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. And certainly what happened in that experiment was horrific. But my concern is that the inclination to use that one event to explain medical mistrust among communities of color prevents us from having the nuanced and real conversation about the many factors that contribute to this issue. Dr. Bernard, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with you that Tuskegee is something that comes up all the time. And of course, you know, the Tuskegee experiment was awful. But there are so many other examples, even before that. There is, I think it's J. Marion Sims. He just recently had his statue taken down somewhere in Central Park. He's the grandfather of gynecology. He was very well known for doing experiments, gynecological procedures without anesthesia on women slaves. That's where a lot of this myth that Black folks tend to have higher pain tolerance came from. This is back in like the 19th century. But then when you break it down, even going forward from the 19th century on to present day, there's just a blatant mistrust of our entire system, especially when it comes to healthcare. And, you know, Tuskegee is always used as an example. However, if you just look at outcomes for patients that are non-white patients in the United States of America, it's quite obvious and glaring that outcomes for patients tend to be worse.
I'd like to come back to the issue of tolerance of pain. This is something that a lot of people of color have reported not being taken seriously. Where does that idea, I mean, we've talked about the origins of it, but how do you think it continues to persist? I mean, what is the conversation in medical schools around pain thresholds? Or is this being addressed in physician education in any meaningful way?
I have to admit, I've never heard anyone say that people have different pain tolerances based on their race. I think that people in general, individually, will have different pain tolerance. But I don't think any of that has anything to do with race. And I've never heard any of that in medical school. Now, granted, I haven't been in medical school since 2006. Maybe there's different curriculums that are being taught regarding pain management. But I've never heard of anything like that. I've never heard of any studies that have been done that display it. And to be perfectly honest with you, the reason why I'm kind of laughing about it is because to me, I think it's crazy. That is absolutely the wrong thing to think about people, that their pain tolerance is going to be different based on their race.
Right, right. Well, much of this conversation that we're seeing in the press and in the media in general of late is related to the COVID-19 vaccine and some concerns among some communities, some of which are of color, about taking the vaccine. And so, President Reina, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. As the head of Madera Community College, what are you hearing, not only from the campus community, but also the community in general? And I'm curious how your personal background maybe is informing those conversations.
Yeah. And before I answer that, I want to echo what Dr. Eckroth-Bernard mentioned, because I think it's important that it's not one singular issue that creates distrust between communities of color and institutions, right? Whether they be healthcare, education, et cetera. And I, you know, when you can pinpoint the life expectancy of someone based on a zip code that then gets down more to a racial, ethnic area, there's valid reasons for that mistrust, right? And so I think to his point as well is we need to acknowledge the harm and the real experiences of community of color have experienced at the hands of our institutions, right? And having said that, to your question, so one of the things that I tried to do at our institution early on was to message the support for the vaccine and be transparent with our faculty staff that I would be getting the vaccine to model that behavior, not just say, hey, you all should get it if it comes out. And so I try to message that early on to our faculty and staff. And one of the things that I did, I recently received the first dose this past Monday when we became eligible in Madera County, all the educators, it was opened up on Monday. And I was intentional in preparing for that day in making sure that I had somebody videotape it so then I could create a video message because people believe what they see, not necessarily what they read. And so I had a colleague of mine videotape it, and yesterday I did a little bit of a voice over it, both in English and in Spanish. And this is where my, you know, personal experience comes into play of I know it's important to get the message out because there's a lot of misinformation on top of the valid mistrust, right? And I think that combination also impacts the ability to get as many people vaccinated along with the accessibility issue. But a lot of it has to do with messaging and setting a positive example. And I'm hoping to do that by the video that I took this past Monday.
Dr. Eckroth-Bernard, could you weigh in perhaps on what you would like to see happen? I mean, this is one example of a leader who's taking steps to dispel some of the concerns or the misinformation related to the COVID-19 vaccine. Can you speak to some of the other steps that you would recommend the medical community take in order to ensure that the vaccine is distributed as quickly and as equitably as possible?
I think we have to take into account many things when it comes to distributing the vaccine. I think President Reyna has done a great job as far as he's Hispanic, Latinx, and I think that example in itself is going to be great for other Latinx patients and people in the community to actually say, hey, you know, this physician is just like us, and he's getting the vaccine, I'm going to get it too. And I think initially trying to get the vaccine out as quickly as possible and as equitable as possible is going to be very, very difficult depending on socioeconomic status. I think long term, though, if we really want to talk about mistrust, then we really have to talk more so about racism. And we have to talk about how racism really is a disease process that is going on and has been going on in our country for since the days of old. And these types of values that continue to be propagated, that is what is leading to mistrust. And so I use Dr. Reyna as an example in the sense that we need more physicians that look like him. We need more physicians that look like me. We need more physicians that actually reflect the patient population that they're taking care of, because that will take care of a tremendous amount of mistrust.
Certainly,
so I know I didn't completely answer your question, and I think it's going to be difficult rolling this out, but having examples of leaders in the community that reflect the patient population actually getting the vaccine is going to make it a lot more likely that the population of people in the Central Valley are going to actually go out and get the vaccine.
And then also, I would imagine you would recommend better training for members of the medical community as it pertains to working with diverse populations.
Oh, well, yeah, that definitely comes down to it. Everybody should be trained in working with diverse populations. But like I said before, I really think the face of medicine, what's going on in the administrative side, as far as the hospitals go, what's going on from the residency side and the faculty side for all hospitals. Those faces need to change to reflect the population of people that they're taking care of. There needs to be more diversity within our hospital systems.
So I'd like to come back to President Reyna. What are you hearing from faculty and staff as it pertains to the vaccine? I mean, certainly I would imagine from your perspective, you would like to see that vaccine rolled out as quickly as possible because that's so closely connected to your ability to reopen campus safely. Have you heard a fair amount of pushback from members of the campus community?
Yeah, and so I just want to also, before I answer that, is acknowledge, you know, the position of privilege that I hold as a president, that some I may not hear too much pushback because they may feel, you know, I don't want to echo my pushback or communicate my pushback to a president because he may see that as a slight to him or his beliefs, et cetera. But generally speaking, I try to get a pulse of, you know, talking to faculty leaders and other and classified leaders. I meet with them weekly and have conversations just in general with the what's going on campus and the vaccine as well. And we had conversations, and the majority of faculty, and I put this in quotations because of what I'm hearing, right? And not necessarily me knowing that for a fact, but what I'm hearing from faculty leaders is that the majority of faculty want to get the vaccine, want to get vaccinated. Some of our classified professionals, they want it as well, but there's a sense of, and much like the community, when initially it was being rolled out, they said, we kind of want to do a wait and see game because we don't know enough. And we tend to believe that this is being hurried or rushed. And I'd like to see how this impacts, you know, other folks before I make the commitment to do that. And so having said that, I think, you know, we as an institution of higher education have the spectrum that society has, where you have some folks that, you know, don't believe in vaccines. You have folks that believe in science and try to utilize that and take guidance from our healthcare professionals. And then on top of what we're discussing now, right, the race issue of the valid mistrust on top of that as well. But to your question that you asked previously too, is what can we do for the accessibility piece and to roll this out equitably is I had the ability to get a PowerPoint yesterday of a survey that was conducted in Fresno County of about 300 people that were asked relative to the vaccine in preparation for some of this, and they were going to roll out the results earlier today, and there's some information that's saying, you know, and some of this we know as people of color and lived in through these experiences, is if you want to be more effective in the distribution and rollout, you need to hold these events where the individuals live or the communities versus having them go into a government public health department area because of that mistrust with government, et cetera. And then for undocumented individuals in our community, there is really no messaging around, or at least I haven't heard that, you know, what form of ID are people going to ask for? Is it safe to go get vaccinated? I think that's an important piece for those individuals that have that status, and utilizing trusted sites, whether it be a church, community-based organizations, and clearly explain that it's free, because there's an economic factor here as well that people may feel, hey, well, even though it's out there, I don't think that I can afford it because, you know, I don't know what the cost may or may not be.
So I'll give you both an opportunity to do this, and we'll go ahead and stick with you, President Reyna. What is your message to folks listening who have these, you know, concerns about the vaccine and who, you know, have a genuine mistrust of the medical profession based on, you know, not only history, but perhaps even their own personal interactions? What do you say to them?
Yeah, and it's complicated, but One of it is to education, right? I think the education piece is very important. And by education, I mean self-educate, right? Do your research. Try to connect with individuals that have either been vaccinated that you know in your circle and ask questions. And I think the ability to be to have that transparent conversation, we know that there are side effects to it, right? So on Tuesday, my arm was pretty sore, right? Wednesday, I was good. I didn't feel anything today. I feel great. But being able to be transparent and communicating that out to folks so they have all the information that they need to make an educated decision is very important. And we also have to acknowledge and realize, you know, the health disparities that are taking place. We know disproportionately communities of color have been impacted by the pandemic and then disproportionately impacted in terms of access to the vaccine as well. And so I think, you know, having that understanding that we need to do the best that we can, myself included, to work with our communities of color to make sure that they have the access should they decide to do it because of the health and safety, not only of themselves, but of their loved ones as well.
And then Dr. Eckroth-Bernard, I'll pose the same question to you. What more would you say to communities of color with reservations at this
when
time?
When I think about these reservations, I start thinking about percentages in my head. One striking percentage that I think of, so 13% of the United States population is Black. However, 21% of the 500 and some thousand people almost that have died from COVID-19 are Black. And that is just a horrible percentage when you start to think about that. And so it's affecting people of color actually more so in the sense of death from a mortality standpoint than it is people that are white. I think that this urges us to, you know, go out and get the vaccine if we can. And I can't echo enough what President Reyna said. I mean, going to the communities and having things set up as far as vaccinations in the neighborhoods, in the communities. I think here specifically in the Central Valley, you think of South and Southwest Fresno, also in all the farming communities. I mean, there are so many communities out there that don't have access, and to expect these individuals to travel long distances to get this vaccine, I mean, that's probably just not going to happen. So we have to create an infrastructure that's going to make it easily accessible. And we have to also let people know that it's really, really important that they get vaccinated.
I've been talking with Dr. Kamel Eckroth-Bernard, a vascular surgeon with UCSF Fresno, and President Angel Reyna, president of the Madera Community College. Thank you both so much for taking the time to talk with us about this really complicated and nuanced, but vitally important topic.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.